Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's the Radio Northwest Network on a Wednesday, and we could call it Conflagration Wednesday, since we have fires, massive fires burning both Oregon and Washington. I don't think Idaho is quite hit as hard as the other two states of the Pacific Northwest, but we've done our best to update you on some of the places around the Northwest. The Tri-Cities is getting somewhat of a kiss at this point. They had some fires on Monday, but for the most part, even though they're a hot, dry part of the region, they have not had the kind of problems that other places have had. Meanwhile, there are cities, both big and small, cities like Springfield that are seeing evacuation orders, and small towns as well. A gentleman we just spoke to a while ago in Bay City, which is a small town, and they were told, be on standby. It's ready, set, go. Stages are levels 1, 2, and 3. When they tell you to get ready to go, get set to go, and now go. And unfortunately, so many people in this region have been told they have to get out of their homes or out of their businesses, and that is a tough situation. So I thought we will tell you what we know about the fires that are burning in the Northwest. And of course, that situation changes minute by minute. And if you're in one of those areas, I'd be glad to take your call. But first, I want to put on Dr. Bob Zybak. And if there is a better prepared person to talk about the subject of wildfires and how to make sure that we can make the Northwest more fire safe, I cannot think of anybody better than Dr. Bob Zybak, who actually got his PhD by writing his dissertation or doctoral research on catastrophic scale fire history here in the Pacific Northwest. Dr. Zybak, welcome back.
Thanks, Lars. Good to talk to you.
I know that sometimes you feel like you're shouting into the wind, and so do I when I say to people, this won't do you any good right now with the hundreds of thousands of acres on fire right now, but year after year, you and I have talked about ways we could make the Northwest a whole lot more fire safe, but we need different policies. Would you get, since you've got the PhD in front of your name or behind your name, I want you to tell my audience what we could be doing if the region chose to have different political leadership and chose to make the changes to make us more fire safe.
Sure. And you're right. We've been talking 20 years on this. I've been writing articles on it, and it is spitting into the wind. As soon as the fires die down, people go about their business and forget all about the options. But active management is a proven method of reducing wildfire problems, wildfire frequency, severity, and so on. From 1952 to about 1986, we had one major fire in all of Western Oregon. And that's because thousands of people were working, producing hundreds of millions of dollars for our rural communities and schools, and it's just active management. When you close down the roads, when you create wilderness areas, and so on, when you stop working in the woods for the first time in thousands of years, you get these predictable wildfires. They've been predicted now for by myself and others for nearly 30 years, and yet people want to blame global warming or some other idea of to rationalize their mistakes. The grossness management is mostly caused by benign neglect.
Yeah, you just say, well, we want the forest to just be there forever because everybody loves trees. I love trees too, but I understand when they get old, just like people, when they get old, they get sick, they can die, and if they die standing up, then they're going to end up being fuel. And if they burn in a fire and you don't salvage the lumber that's still there, still worth a lot of money, so that you can clear the fuel off the forest floor, then you've just set yourself up for the fire next year or the year after.
Yep, and that's what's been happening. We had the six-year jinx in 1933, 39, 45, 51, the Tillamook reburns. The Chelmeopsis have now burned three or four times since 1987. And in between, when we had housing booms and people were building parks and schools, we didn't have this problem. So we made it disappear for about 35 years. And it wasn't coincidental. It was active management. And another problem is not that the trees are getting too old, but they're getting too crowded. So you get too many stems per acre. You get ladder fuels. As you say, you get dead fuels on the forest floor. And those, when a fire starts, it moves up into the canopy And then you've got a crown fire, and that's what's moving through these forests on an east wind and killing so many thousands of acres of trees is overcrowding way too much fuel.
Now, I know this isn't particularly in your expertise, but I imagine you have a thought on it. I've told people for the big grass fires and the fires that aren't burning in heavy forest, we could also address that with better management of those lands. If we said to farmers and ranchers, we want a lot of grazing that's going on out there so that we cut a lot of that fuel load down. It doesn't eliminate the chance of fire, but it certainly takes away the fuel that pushes the fire along.
That's true. The grass fires and brush fires should be separated from the crown fires, but it used to be, before automobiles, everybody had a horse and cattle and so on, so there was a lot of grazing done. A lot of sheep grazing on federal lands 100, 150 years ago, and that kept fuels way down, and that really reduced fire as well. Also, we had prescribed burning. When I was younger, I was in reforestation, and you would go out, and when there's heavy fuel loads, say following logging or a die-off of brush, dead trees, so on, you would burn it on purpose during a good time of the day, good time of the year, so that when a lightning strike or a careless smoker came by, you didn't get a fire.
Yeah, and yet, why are we not doing that now?
Politics. There's an anti-logging bias that permeates Salem. Permeates colleges and universities where people think that I'm going to quote because I've made memorize it, a non-declining even flow naturally functioning ecosystem is somehow an ideal rather than an aberration.
And yet they won't do it. Well, any other suggestions at this point in changes that could happen? And it could happen even under liberal leadership, because if you ask Governor Kate Brown, whose sustainability is one of her favorite words, is it sustainable to keep having these destructive fires every couple of years?
It's sustainable if you want destructive fires. It's not a good sustainability. Mostly the government people really don't know what they're talking about. They don't have a connection to logging or to farming as they did up until the past century or so. And so their idea of an ideal situation doesn't match nature, which is more dynamic than they understand.
I mean, because nature used to do this occasionally. You'd get a lightning strike. There weren't a lot of people around or you know, people as it's populated now. And a big bunch of forest would burn to the ground. And I don't think anybody thinks that's desirable. By the way, you can read what he writes. It's Dr. Bob Zybeck, who's been writing about this for years. We'll post some of his best pieces up at LarsLarson.com. Pleasure to be with you. And Dr. Zybeck, thanks very much. As a landlord, how is the ban on evictions affecting the individual rights of citizens who own those homes? You've got the Lars Larson Show.